listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Stay connected to your Cleveland Browns for the latest news, photos, videos, and more straight from the team. Like them on Facebook at Cleveland Browns. Follow them on Twitter at Browns and on Instagram at Official Browns. Time now for a Tuesday tradition. A little after further review, we bring in our producer today, Matt Fontana, with us. Let's get it going.
After further review.
All right, guys, question number one. After combining all the draft additions with the free agency edition, who is the number one pickup for the Browns this offseason?
I think it stays with the number one pickup, the literal number one guy, and that would be Justin Gilbert. I think just early on you see his pure athleticism. You see how well he'll be able to incorporate that size into his game. Just very early, very preliminary, but I'm liking his presence on this football team because he's going to be out there as a starter, as a rookie, and yeah, there are going to be things to learn, but I think on natural skill set, athletically, I think he'll have it over everybody else. And look, I like Carlos Dansby because he'll upgrade the spot that needed vast upgrading, coverage and whatnot. Dante Whitner will do the same at strong safety. But I think for a guy who can really bring a difference to a spot that has been somewhat of an Achilles heel to this defense, he looks the part. Gilbert looks the part to me.
He certainly does look good. He is a fine-looking athlete out there on the field, Mr. Justin Gilbert. Since you went with Gilbert, I'm going to go with another rookie.
Okay.
And I like Carlos Dansby. I certainly think you can make the case for him, Dante Whitner as well. But I'm going to go with John Football because I think what Johnny Football is going to do for this team, for this city, in terms of the energy he's going to provide, the lift that he's going to provide, I think it's going to be huge. And I think that Johnny Football is going to be, at some point this year, the starting quarterback for this team, and I think it's going to be exciting. Now, I'm going to give one asterisk, kind of not answer the question the way that it was worded, but I think the biggest offseason move for the Cleveland Browns was making the move to have the head coach general manager tandem of Mike Pettine and Ray Farmer, and I think you're already seeing dividends from that on the field, in the draft, and also just from talking to the players, the feelings that they have. Guys like Joe Hayden, who is now locked up here through the year 2019, the way Alex Mack was handled, Phil Taylor, you just get a sense that there is a plan, there's an execution from the top to the bottom. And I think when we look back at the day that Lombardi and Banner were sent packing after Chud as a point of demarcation in the history and the future of this franchise, it will be looked back upon very, very favorably. So I think that's a big one. And that's also some of the things that led to the great movements on draft day that landed John Football.
After further review.
All right, guys, now at the offseason, starting to wrap up, almost over, where would your power ranking be for the Browns in just the AFC, number 1 to number 16 in the AFC?
In just the AFC, huh?
Just
where would I
AFC.
Put them now? Well, what were they? They were 16 last year, were they not? Or pretty darn close to it. They were 15, I guess. Jacksonville was worse. So you got to move up from there. I'll give it at this point. This is such a hard one to answer in May, but I'll go with a loose movement to say 10 upwards of. I'll say they can climb 5 or so spots from where they were last year, based on what I kind of see right now, subject to updates. That's a great question, but there's so much. Other teams got better. The rest of this division got better. And the other teams in the AFC got better. And if the Browns got better, sometimes you can improve. But when your competition is improving, you don't see the results of it. But for the sake of answering this, I'll give them, you know, 4 or 5 spots better than they were last year.
I agree with that. I'm going to put them at 9, and that's an optimistic 9.
Yes.
I was going to say 10, but you said 10, so I'm going to go one step. And that's good, because
you're
a perspective guy.
Yeah, I am a
I know, but if you're a
that's
perspective
true.
Guy,
that's
let
true.
My optimism be worth one spot.
I almost shook a pom-pom in that one.
You did. So if you're going to go
and
10.
And I don't do that.
If you're going to go 10, I'm going to go 9. I think this is a team that if it gets some of the right breaks, if the quarterback play is at the level that I expect it to be at with Brian Hoyer and Johnny Manziel, with the way that I believe this defense is going to play, with the way that I think we're going to be able to run the football here in Cleveland, I think this is a team that in December is going to play some games where their playoff fate will be in the balance, and that will be a departure from years past, so I'm going to call them number 9.
After further review.
Taking a look at the wide receivers, guys. Miles Austin, Nate Burleson, or Andrew Hawkins, in your opinion, which of these wide receivers will make the biggest impact for the Browns this year?
Yeah, wow. That's a great question. I'm going to say Andrew Hawkins, and I'll say for this reason. I think he has those Wes Welker-ish types of skills in terms of ability to get open and then probably, or not probably, but definitely more speed. The key, of course, is can the quarterback make him, because he won't make the quarterback. He'll help, he'll get open, he'll do things to help out, but are those guys going to find him? And this is where the discipline has to come in for not just a Johnny Manziel, who's, I think his DNA is to seek those bigger plays, and Hawkins isn't going to be the guy running those longer routes most of the time. He's underneath. He's picking and you know, finding those seams and those holes underneath coverage, within the coverage, and then trying to make some plays afterward, moving the chains. I think he can be a highly productive. I think his numbers conceivably would be bigger and better than Austin and Burleson.
I like Andrew Hawkins a lot as well. I think, you know, just kind of in light, if everything, all things are being equal, I would say Andrew Hawkins. But because of the potential for the Josh Gordon situation and the fact that Miles Austin is the best suited to step outside and play that role if he needs to, I'm going to say a healthy Miles Austin would have the biggest impact. Now, Miles Austin's health is no guarantee. Andrew Hawkins certainly close there. I think Nate Burleson's going to be a very solid player for this team, and I think a lot of his value is going to come off the field in the meeting rooms, helping these guys learn how to be professionals and get the job done at the level. But I'll tell you what, getting to watch Andrew Hawkins up close, he is so fast, and he catches the ball and gets upfield as quickly as anybody I have ever seen. But given the, in light of the Gordon situation, I'm going to stick with Miles Austin as the opportunity today to make the biggest impact.
After further review.
Final one, guys. One of the biggest questions this NFL offseason, should the NFL move the draft back to April?
Well, I'll throw in this little caveat on this one. Peter King reported, I think yesterday or the day before, yesterday, Monday Morning Quarterback, reports that the start of the 2015 draft, from what he is hearing from, quote, a solid source that also says it's going to move from New York, that it would actually start April 30th. So technically it will stay or move back to April, I guess, just at the very end of April, and then bleed into May, I think, end on May 2nd, if I'm doing the math right, in terms of the days, the 3 days unfolding. So it technically would be there. I don't think, though, it's moving back to, if the question actually is where it used to be a couple of weeks earlier. No, I think the NFL liked the longer run of discussion. But keep in mind, will next year's draft provide the same intrigue as this one? Because this one provided a lot of intrigue, primarily for the guy who is in this building now, number two, Johnny Manziel. That's really what defined this draft and defined the interest in it.
Yeah, move it back. Enough.
Move it back even earlier than April 30th?
I'm fine with the kind of going back 1 week. I think the one extra week is fine. 2 weeks is fine. But for to be honest, for our purposes, the later draft gave an easy to follow content roadmap, as it were, until the draft, because once it's over, then it's a little bit tougher, I would say.
Well, you move on to other things, but let me ask you a question. How do you like this idea? Because this year you and I, you know, hung out in New York, it was a great opportunity. It was a great time. The whole thing was wonderful. Great stuff. But the idea of this moving around not being a New York thing anymore, you're down, two thumbs down on that?
I'm two thumbs down on it. New York is a special city to me. I have a great time there. I've, you know, been able to go there with CBS basically every weekend during the football season for years.
This is all about you, basically.
And I want to keep New York on the map.
I do too.
For me, as much as possible. So why not in April?
Yeah, so they're talking about maybe Peter King suggesting maybe or speculating Chicago. Chicago's a very nice city, but I don't know.
It's a fine town, but April, there's no guarantees on the weather whatsoever.
And the draft moving around, I don't know.
It loses a little of the luster. It's Radio City Music Hall. Yeah. The guys get to walk the red carpet in front of Radio City Music Hall.
How do you replicate that in different cities? There are going to be some cities that you just don't have the same feel. No other city is going to give you the same feel as Manhattan. But I'm just curious as to how this will play out and what the draft would feel like in a few years from now when it's bouncing around to different places, when it's in, you know, Buffalo or Seattle or Houston. I don't know.
It doesn't, right. I don't
Cleveland.
Like that. And they're also talking about multiple places.
Okay, yeah, different days. Different
WrestleMania
locations.
1 was in New York. WrestleMania 2 was in New York, Chicago, and L.A. Not a good idea. No multiple cities. One city, because what are you going to do? So if a guy goes who's supposed to be drafted in round one and is in the green room and falls into day two, does he then have to fly to the next city for rounds two and three?
It's an expensive deal. A lot of jet fuel to
That's
move
ridiculous.
These guys around.
Let's go.
Ridiculous. All right.
Let's go.
More coming up. We're going to get three topics with the three-time Super Bowl champ. He is Gerard Cherry, and we love to have that feature on this show. We're going to have it for you today. That's coming up on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.